Okie dokie. Well, I was sitting here looking at my, it's my first time, you know, I'm always constantly coming up with new things. I don't know if it's laziness or something. One of my big things was showering was always problematic in all of my circumstances. When I was working at Socorro, I had just rigged up a jerry can with a hose on it and a little sprayer where I could turn on and off the water. And that works pretty good. It works pretty good in the in our long summer. It hasn't been a terribly long summer so far this year. We're still having cold snaps that are pretty cold. Cold enough to make showering out at the crash site a pretty brisk experience. And during the winter time, I would just depend on my wipies, kind of adult baby wipes, and to just kind of take care of my backside and you know, the whole undercarriage, and then my armpits, and that was kind of the extent that I would get home. Of course, that was a 5-day work week there. So I can only imagine that on Friday, I might not have been the most pleasant of sorts. But nobody said anything. I don't know if that's a credit to them or if it's just me. You know, just people being nice. I don't mind people being nice. Now I found this place nearby me at work where as soon as I get out of work, I can just skip over to this place and it's got a bathroom and the bathroom's got a shower in the back. And it's wonderful. And I had found another one, but it's cold water. Now this one's hot water and that's great. So my other big problem is how do I dry off? At the crash site, it's usually not a problem. Especially during temperate times, because I mostly air dry there. And they go, oh, you're buck naked. You go, yeah, I am. But I'm usually shoehorned into a little situation where that's not a problem. I'm not seen. Well, the people can see my feet and my head, but they can't see the rest. So it's like, you know, it's not an issue of privacy and exposure for other people. It really ends up being, you don't want to be, you don't want to offend other people particularly, you know. I mean, it's invariable these days, in these great days of great offense, you're gonna offend everybody. And you know, that's just the way it's gonna be. Anyway, so I was just thinking, okay, I had taken my shower yesterday afternoon, and I have gotten out this morning, of course, and when I go there, I usually go and hit someplace. I used to hit a state park. It wasn't even really a state park. It was a rest area on the side of the road that was between me and Socorro. And that's where I would brush my teeth and floss if it was a day for flossing. And, make sure I went to the bathroom properly. When I'm out the crash site, I just pee wherever. And if I have to poop, I've got a bucket I poop into. And I've got some moss, some peat moss that I throw in there to kind of give it some things to do. And I generate some pretty high quality fertilizer. Anyway, I was just thinking, because I said, oh, look, and I went and I got the towel, and I said, oh, this thing's been sitting here not drying out, because it was all wrapped up and stuffed in my bag. I take it to work. I usually like to, as I think of things, because I don't trust my memory at all, to remember things that need to be done, I tend to just do them. That really makes me look conscientious. And I guess I am, but I know I'm scatterbrained. I've always been scatterbrained. Remember when I was 12 years old, I was the Deacon's Corps president, and the bishop at the time. At the ward in Lubbock I was in, was me. He came right out and said it. He said things that probably other people would never say, but he did. And it's really stuck with me this whole time. And it is. It says, I am badly scatterbrained. And it's not like it's developed over time. It's always, apparently I've always been this way. And, so when I think of something, I have to really handle it right then. And people have always tried, oh, you don't have to do it right now. You can do it when it's more convenient for you. And I always go, no, we need to take care of it right now. It's just because if I don't take care of it right now, it's not going to get taken care of. I'm going to forget about it. And they go, well, you need to have a system to help you remember things. And you go, okay, this is, and here's my other problem. Says if I write it down in a book or I tie a piece of string on my finger or something, whatever you're supposed to do to help you remember things, I'm scatterbrained to the point to where I'll leave that book aside. I'll forget what the piece of string is supposed to remind me of. And I'll take more time trying to remember what the heck was going on. But time it likely took me to go and and just do it. So I've learned over time. It says, and this is Necrypt. Boy, isn't Nemro brilliant? Boy, I'm glad he's sharing all these pearls of wisdom with me. And it's like, I don't think I have a lot of pearls to offer. My children are relatively dismissive of me because I'm not very impressive. And, you can say, well, And I'm sure that what advice I do give, I'm sure they feel like they can do better. So there's that. But and I'm slow, I think. I think I'm rather on the slow side. I'm always vaguely terrified that I'm going to lose a job over it. And that might be my tendency toward changing jobs a lot, is I always feel like I'm a bit of a pretender. Even though most people say, no, he really does have good skills, and it's really worth it. I said, he have some problems for just, you know, having a lot of confidence in himself, and you go, you know what, I don't think having confidence in oneself is all that great of a virtue. When Christ and God and prophets tell us to be humble, I don't think I need a lot of work on being humble. Yeah, but you can ask my wife and she'll tell you otherwise. I'm sure. Anyway. So yeah, I've got this towel spread out here that I should have spread out yesterday. But I wasn't thinking about it. I was thinking about other things, like the cover on the blister, which I think I've done a better job of putting it down, spent some money and some effort on other ways of doing it that I think in the end really didn't work very well. And I hope this one's a little better. It's got another idea. It isn't the best way of doing it, but with the materials I had to hand, it was a good way. And I'm crediting Heavenly Father for inspiring me to buy a few things that really didn't make a whole lot of sense to begin with. Anyway. pardon me. I constantly give God the credit, even though it may be other circumstances. He gave me everything I got, you know, good or bad. Most of it's good, you know, and I credit it all to being good. Anything that God helps me with, that's a good thing. And, you know, that starts from an early impression to get a computer to help me write. Down to it, and I don't think I'm a very fantastic writer. Lisa says I'm a really good writer, but to be honest, it takes a bolt of lightning for that to make much money. You go ahead and you throw all your stuff out there, that's your right, and you try to give opportunities for people to pay for it, you know, you mostly just throw it out there, and let it be out there for free, and let stuff come back to you. I put writing, speaking, and art, and I don't mean to be rude to artists and almost the sort of ego that they must have to produce and to work on it. Because a lot of people will look at your stuff and go, I don't know about that. You know, because most people express their attitudes through money. Or that's how you try to do it. I've never felt confident enough in my creativity to really, I don't know whether invest is the right word. I write a lot, and sometimes it's amazing writing, and other times it's really kind of, you know, perfunctory. Right now I'm actually saying, I'm putting a lot of things that I do down in, in documentation, not really of what I do, but of how to do something, and not even that so much. I've experienced some really excellent technical writers. Max Planck, my lead. Over in Socorro, just a stellar, I think, documentation person, just cranks that stuff out, just amazing, and I was trying to imitate his style, and I don't think I did a very good job of it. He's definitely amazing at what he does, and it doesn't matter what he thought of me, which wasn't much, and totally, you know, because I'm a slow mover. And I was getting to the things that I needed to be good about, but he wasn't. I didn't even go for my old job, although I went as far as the interview, and I just dropped out of the interview and said, "No, I'm not gonna do that." You know, he took an awfully big chance on me before, and he wasn't very. He wasn't very game to give me another chance. So when people say, "Oh, you always need to do higher things and better things," and you're going, "Yeah, this is not that I don't go for those, but you know, if I already know I'm going to get a bad reception, there's just no point." And frankly, I got a job that pays better, which means more than anything else when it comes right down to it. People tend to rate you by the amount of money you make and who you work for. So I'm very grateful for the job I have now. I'm trying to do a good job of it. They already say I'm getting a good reputation. You go, "Oh, good, thank you, I'm glad." That's the most important thing. If people like having you around, performance reviews typically end up still being good. Oh. Anyway, so that's all good. It's just, yeah, like I said, if people like you and they're glad you're there and you're making a good contribution to the effort, to the purposes of your team, for instance, usually things will be okay. Even if you're struggling with goals that they might have written down in mind, as long as you're making progress toward it, it's okay. If you're a person who... pardon me. Hi. If you're a person who is difficult to work with, not very nice to each other, then a performance review is a tool to justify getting rid of somebody that otherwise may be doing the job but is horrible to deal with. And you don't want to be that person particularly. Anyway. I guess that was all I was really thinking about talking. I don't even think about it. You know, you just start something, you have an idea, you kick it off. Sometimes you get around to the idea, sometimes you don't. I don't really have a pen and a paper out here to write these things down. I do have ways of doing this, but I often don't use them or refer to them particularly. And I'm always grateful to the Lord, to God, to Jesus Christ, to the system up there, to the Holy Ghost, for the constant stream of inspiration that I get. I mean, it happens all the time, and sometimes it manifests as reminding me of things that I need to do, and boy, do I need that reminding. I don't think much of myself, and to be honest, I don't think that there is a ton about me that's really all that commendable. You know, I don't think people go out and say, "Oh, that Chase, he's just so competent, and you just want him around, and you want him to do things." I think from a managerial standpoint, I think I did a wretched job, and I don't think anybody really wanted me, well, no, I don't think anybody wanted me to resign, but I do think a lot of people didn't like what I did, and wanted me either to straighten up or not be there anymore. Now, it's funny, for people who had changed jobs to get here, none of them really had the mindset, well, I'm kind of looking, I would have missed my turn again. They're the kind of people who will change jobs very readily. They're more of people I stayed with this thing for such and such many years, and that's a great thing. And, for a lot of people, that is a great thing. Well, I hit that one kind of fast. Didn't need to do that particularly. Anyway, So I'm not even saying I was a good person or that was a good thing to do. I'm sure my wife will come back and say, you know what, I wish Jason would have figured out some way to stick with that, except that she came back and said, you know what, they said, you are getting difficult to live with. And you're going, oh, okay. So it's just another thing that I didn't really need to be doing. I've got my, I think I've got an anxiety streak. I've never really looked on it that way. But it's all about handling that. I'm quite heartened by the way that my children have predominantly dealt with what I'm sure is probably some of the few traits that both Lisa and I have, which is anxiety. I try to think of it as much as I can, but I've got problems that way too. And it can be rough. Say, for instance, my dear Shayna, who tries to, who's still trying to cover it up more. And I'm not going to falter with it. How many years did I work at it to try and say, I can do more things? And, like I said, yeah. The chief information officer job surely was a big hit on that. This job I'm not feeling like is so much so. It seems to always be about conflict and things like that. And I've been straightforward and said, I don't do conflict. I'm a harmony guy. You know, if somebody's really intensely passionate about something, they tend to win. Now, you know, am I going to do something I shouldn't do? Says, if they want to twist me that far and they think there's some great virtue to having done that, you know, that's what happens. That's all I've got to say. Oof. Anyway, kind of go through the gate here. So do I do that? And because of that, I don't make as much money. I don't rise as high as uh, as I should. That after all that time saying, you know, you need to take more opportunities and you need to go air yourself. I have. But I've also... decide what I'm not going to do. And I, you know, and if that means that I don't get to be an exalted person because, you know, I didn't do good with the opportunities that I had, you know, I didn't hang in there and, good morning.
Very good.
Thank you. Anyway, if I didn't make all that stuff work really well, and that ends up being the deciding criteria, then I guess I'm not going to make it that way. And you go, well, you need to have faith it's all going to turn out okay. He says, yeah. He says, but yeah. He says, I've always been a guy that kind of anticipates the worst, and then I'm really glad when I do better than that, or when I get rated better, or when something good happens to me anyway, even though I don't feel like I deserve it. But it seems like the Savior and God really, 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 it isn't about ambition. You know, it's really about humility and humbling yourself. I don't know if what I'm doing is humbling, and I'm worried sometimes that isn't what it is. You know, it's something not good. You know, the normal thing of... you're not all that. It's kind of anti-pride. Now, don't say I have pride issues that I don't have to work on. I do. But I also have this really weird anti-pride that's almost destructive. So what do you do with that? So, and you don't want to get onto that except to say, I don't know what to say about ambition. I think ambition, becomes pride way too readily. And I think it's almost a little better to kind of avoid situations where you have to have kind of a ballsy ambition about things to really get ahead. That it isn't, you know, it isn't a bad thing just to avoid it and not have it in your life. But like I said, there's so many circumstances. Being scatterbrained and stuff like that where it's like, you know, I said it's really hard to feel prideful about yourself when you're constantly... being reminded over and over again, like with the fact I didn't air out my towel like I should have. And I didn't even give it a thought. It wasn't even there to say, how can I possibly be ambitious? Or how can I possibly be prideful? But, you know, it's still there. You can still do it. You know. Being self-centered, I suppose. And I guess that's what I, you know, with all these recordings, of self-reflection, I'm sure it's like, well, he's always thinking of himself. He never thinks of anybody else. And all I was talking about Shayna and about my other kids and about how they have been able to handle their anxieties and other things that are kind of like that, and that I think they've done pretty well for them. Shayna's situation, I think, is really quite good. And I hope she takes advantage of the opportunity. Number one, I hope she's really grateful for the circumstances that she's in, and that she's not feeling too horribly constrained. It really is a blessing. I've told that to the people who work with her, because Shayna will not talk to me. She's kind of shut me out, but it's like, well, this is, you know, that's whatever. I told the people that she works for how grateful I am for a place and a circumstance where she can be. And frankly, you know, I was always hoping that she was going to be able to express herself artistically, and I think she has been able to, and that's really great, and that's where a lot of fulfillment's going to come from. The fact that all these aspects of herself can be are appreciated, and that's fantastic, and I'm grateful for that. As an adjunct to that, my own writing, I think, has kind of been that way. I'm grateful for jobs that I have that it seems like I do well enough that I can keep the jobs. And this is probably, every time I think that I've got my final job, I don't. But I think Lisa really wants this to be my last job, but she wants me to keep it for a while. A lot longer than I want to. I'm at the parking lot. It's time to start my work day. Talk to you later. Bye.